What up? Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Reds Weekly Recap, brought to you by Impact Sports Cincinnati. My name is Chris Hasbrock, and I am your host as always. Again, what a phenomenal stretch here by the Cincinnati Reds. Now, if you remember last episode, I was about to put the nail in the coffin of the team, but did mention that they had to take 7 of their next 10. However, they have taken, so far within the last 10 games of the season, or the last 10 games here they've played, they are 8-2. They are right now sitting 500, head in the last wild card spot. They're currently tied with the Milwaukee Brewers now, who this sets up a humongous series coming up here against the Brew Crew. There are only 6 games left in the season now. So now is the time to see, you know, it's put up or shut up time here for this Reds ball club. And everything plays out how you want with the rotation moving forward. However, let's kind of take a couple steps back. I'm a little jacked up here. Let's, like I said, take a couple steps back and look back at the series against the Pittsburgh Pirates. It was a 4-game series over 3 days. There was the doubleheader, which was part of the August 16th. It was a makeup game from August 16th. Cincinnati Reds came out and they knocked off the Pittsburgh Pirates by a score of 3-1. Raisel Iglesias ends up getting the win. And, you know, this was a huge way to start off this set. It was a series to where the Pittsburgh Pirates are one of the worst teams in baseball, flat out. They had to get it done and take all 4. Well, that's exactly what they did. Again, starting off with this, you know, first game here, the 3-1, first game of the doubleheader. So again, 7 innings. Again, this was just a huge, huge win for the Reds. They ended up walking it off in the bottom of the 7th inning on home run by Tyler Stevenson, who came in and pinch hit for Shogo Akiyama in the bottom of the 7th. And he took a pitch deep into the left center, or left, I'd say left field, is left center, deep into the seats there. Huge, huge victory for the Cincinnati Reds. Day where Trevor Bauer got the start. Thought he was going to go all 7. Unfortunately, he did not make it. He did pitch into the 7th inning, did get 1 out, but then gave up a game-tying home run to Colin Moran, his 8th of the year. In the 7th inning, it was a solo shot, no on, no out. Fortunately, couldn't get the job done there, but Bauer, again, was simply fantastic. Goes 6 1/3, gave up 4 hits, 1 run, and that was the home run at the top of the 7th inning. He struck out 12. His ERA drops to 1.71 on Raisel Iglesias. Came in, got the remaining 2 outs of the 7th inning, and struck out both of those batters there. And then the Cincinnati Reds, again, like I said, walked it off in the bottom of the 7th inning on that home run by Tyler Stevenson. Reds only managed 5 hits. That's something the offense had to pick it up at one point. And, you know, unfortunately they were, you know, it took a while. They just have to flat out get it done. So, 3 runs on 5 hits while conceding 4 hits and only that 1 run. Again, that was a huge, huge outing there by Trevor Bauer, who has been nothing short of simply fantastic this season. And, you know, he continues to pitch that way. And that's something, obviously, that we need to continue to, you know, to see as we move forward here. The second game of the doubleheader was a game that was relatively not close. It ended up being a 9-4 victory by the Cincinnati Reds, where they kind of came out and just continued their, you know, their hot streaks here. At this point, it was 3 in a row. After they took the first game, they improved to 22-26 on the season. Going into this game, they improved to 23-26 after, like I said, the 9-4 victory over the Pittsburgh Pirates, where DeSclafani got the start. Goes 4 2/3, gives up 7 hits, 4 runs, all 4 were earned. He did strike out 7. He did walk 1 and gave up 2 home runs. Other than that, I mean, you know, the team, you know, they continued to get the job done. And De Leon came in the top of the fifth inning. He walked his two batters. Unfortunately, could not get the job done. Sal Romano came in relief there, got the win, as he was able to get that final out of the fifth inning. And then Archie Bradley got the hold, where he came in and pitched the sixth, and then Nate Jones came in and pitched the top of the seventh. And the Cincinnati Reds were indeed able to come away with a victory, where you saw home runs from Goodwin, Votto, and Moustakas. And the Reds were feeling lucky. It was a game, again, where, you know, this team, they continue to, you know, to impress at some points. They only managed 5 hits in this game. That's where you kind of, they've got to continue to pick it up. You know, we keep saying it. Akiyama got 1 hit, Votto with 1 hit, Moustakas and Goodwin, and then Kyle Farmer with a hit as well. Simply put, they cannot, they have to take advantage of what's given to them. They have to get hits. Plain and simple, you're not going to go out and, you know, and win games, you know, by only managing 5 or less hits. They were helped out by the Pittsburgh pitching staff. Plain and simple, in this game, you know, there was a total of 9 walks from Pittsburgh pitchers in this game, where they also struck out 9, but again, they gave up 3 home runs. You simply put cannot do that. But the Reds, again, they were able to get it going and take advantage of the situation that was given to them. They scored after the Pirates had played in 1 in the first. You know, you're down 1-0 going into the bottom of the first. Reds were unable to get anything going. In the second inning, they held the Pirates scoreless. The Reds were able to get 2 runs in the bottom of the second, another 1 in the bottom of the third, 3 more in the fifth inning and the sixth inning, and the Reds were able to come away with that huge 9-4 victory. So that's exactly what you wanted to see from this Reds ball club. Able to get it done, take the second game of the doubleheader. So they sweep that, and they improve to 23-26 on the season. They come back on Tuesday, the 15th, where they faced the Pirates once again, and they came away with a 4-1 victory. Now, this was a game to where Michael Lorenzen stepped up in a huge way and started. Michael Lorenzen is a multi-talented pitcher from Cal State Fullerton. As we know, we've seen, you know, what Lorenzen brings to the table for this ball club, and he stepped up and pitched a phenomenal game. He goes 5 innings in the start, 4 hits, 1 run, and that was earned, and he struck out 6. ERA lowered to 4.56 on the season. He did improve to 2-1. And TJ Antone came in, got the hold. Sims came in, got a hold as well. Those two combined for 3 innings pitched. And Amir Garrett came in the bottom of the 9th inning and got the save, his first. Again, the Reds, a huge, 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 huge victory for this team. The Reds were able to get 3 runs in the bottom of the first, giving Lorenzen nice run support, and they were able to tack on again in the second, and then were shut down the rest of the game. But at that point, you had a 4-0 lead going into the, you know, into the further innings, and they were able to get it done and were able to get the huge victory, improving to 24-26. Again, a massive victory. The Reds were able to pound out 6 hits while conceding 5 from the Pirates there. But Akiyama went 2-for-4. Nick Castellanos went 2-for-4. Tucker Barnhart and Freddy Galvis all with hits. Again, the timely hitting in this case, it was clutch, where Moustakas, Goodwin, Galvis, and Tucker Barnhart all drove in runs. Tucker's was on a home run in the fourth inning, a solo shot off of Joe Musgrove, who he ultimately went 5 innings, gave up 6 hits, 4 runs. They were all earned. Walked 1 and struck out 8 Reds in his 5 innings, but he fell to 0-5 on the season. And after that, the Pittsburgh Pirates fell to 14-33. Like I said, while the Reds did improve to 24-26, a game or 2 games under 500, with a chance to get a game back closer to 500 here as they wrapped up the the series on Wednesday against the Pittsburgh Pirates, and that's exactly what they did. The Reds were able to pitch their way to another victory. And this one was through Luis Castillo, who goes 7 innings, gave up 3 hits, 1 walk, and he struck out 10. Again, Luis Castillo has finally picked up. He has improved to 3-5 on the season. Archie Bradley gets his second hold. He goes an inning. And then Raisel Iglesias came in and pitched the top of the 9th inning and got the save, his 8th of the season, where he struck out 1 and conceded nothing here. So, again, a massive 4-game sweep from the Cincinnati Reds. Again, another game where the Reds were unable to get a lot of hits. They only managed 5, and 2 of those came from Nick Castellanos. Another one came from Shogo Akiyama, and then Jose Garcia and Kurt Casale also chipped in with hits as well. But the Reds again struck out 9 times. They left 6 men on base. Again, you want to see the hit totals improve a little bit there. But, you know, a win's a win. And when Luis Castillo is pitching like he was, that's what you want to see right there. And that's what we saw from this Reds ball club. So a much needed victory in a 4-game sweep of the Pittsburgh Pirates, improving to 25-26 on the season, to where the Reds are, you know, at this point in time, we're a game back, heading into a massive 3-game series against the Chicago White Sox, a club that at the point in time had clinched a playoff spot and are leading the American League Central, as I try to spit that out. At the time, one of the top teams in the American League. They came in, and it was, at this point, they were 33-17 coming into this, while the Reds, again, were 25-26. But the Reds came out and set it, you know, they set it straight of how this was going to be played. And they came out, bashed 4 home runs on 8 hits, scored 7, and the Reds were able to get a huge 7-1 victory over the Chicago White Sox. Again, I keep using these adjectives on how big and how, you know, clutch, crucial, huge, massive, you name it. But words cannot describe how big of a series this was for the Reds and White Sox, for the Reds to knock off the White Sox like they did in dominating fashion in game 1 there, where, you know, like I said, they were able to get it done in much needed fashion. Like I said, where Jonathan Stever, the White Sox pitcher, made his major league debut. Now, you know, you kind of question, you know, the validity of it when you're facing a kid making his major league debut. But at this point in time, the Chicago White Sox had already clinched a playoff spot. So in this case, they're still fighting for, you know, a high seed and everything like that. But again, when you're looking at the entirety of the situation here, this was a huge game for the Cincinnati Reds regardless. And again, scoring 7 runs on 8 hits and knocking out Jonathan Stever in his major league debut after just 2 2/3 of an inning was, you know, that's how you want to set the tone. Again, Stever goes 2 2/3. He gave up 5 hits, 6 runs. All 6 were earned. He did walk 2, did not strike out any, and he did give up the 4 home runs. Castellanos in the first inning. Tucker Barnhart in the 3rd inning. Votto in the 3rd, and then Jesse Winker in the 3rd as well. So, you know, again, there were a couple big shots. The Winker one was a 3-run bomb. And then, obviously, with Votto and Tucker Barnhart, those were solo shots along with Castellanos as well. But Akiyama, Castellanos each had a hit. Joey Votto went 3-for-4. And then Jesse Winker, Jose Garcia, and Tucker Barnhart all went either 1-for-4 or 1-for-3. So, again, a huge, huge spot there by the Cincinnati Reds as they, again, were able to pound out 8 hits and get the 7 runs in that situation there and gave themselves a fantastic, you know, opportunity to, you know, push forward in this playoff, in this playoff race here where the Reds are, they're in a battle now and they got the job done when needed. They improved to 26-26. So at this point, they were 500 going into the second game of the series on Saturday against the Chicago White Sox, and it was a huge pitching matchup where we were going to see, it was Dallas Keuchel taking on Trevor Bauer. Now, Trevor Bauer did get the loss. He goes 7 innings. Dallas Keuchel did not factor in the decision. He only went 4 innings. Now, give up 4 hits, walked 3, and did strike out 7. His ERA did fall to 2.04. But he was unable to get the decision. And unfortunately for Trevor Bauer, he did fall and get the loss where he went 7, gave up 5 hits, 2 runs, all, you know, I should want to say all 2, but both runs were earned, as I tried to spit that part out there. He did strike out 5 and gave up 1 walk. He did give up 2 home runs, though, 1 to Mazzara and then another 1 to Tim Anderson. Anderson went yard again later on in the 8th inning, and things just kind of fell apart for the Reds late in this game. They had only given up only 2 runs going into, you know, into the late stages of this game before the 8th inning. Things, like I said, went a little sideways for the Reds, and they gave up 3 runs in the top of the 8th inning. So things that did, like I said, things did go a little sideways for the Reds. And Trevor Bauer, he falls to 4-4. But again, he pitched, you know, he pitched solid, only gave up 5 hits. Unfortunately, the hits he gave up were the long ball variety. Not what you want to see. And his ERA did balloon up to 1.80. Robert Stevenson and Nate Jones came in and finished up the game. Robert Stevenson got tagged, like I said. He gave up 3 hits, 3 runs. All 3 were earned, and then they were all home runs. So that's not going to help your situation there. And then Nate Jones came in and pitched the top of the 9th inning. And other than that, tough way. But again, the Reds fall to 26-27 at this point in time, to where they came into Sunday's matchup, the rubber game, and they passed a huge test. As it says here on the Reds website, contending Reds passed huge test in Series W, where they faced, like I said, the rubber game against the Chicago White Sox. They came away with a 7-3 victory. Now, the Reds only managed 5 hits, but they got the job done. Dylan Cease was the tough luck loser for the White Sox, while Michael Lorenzen came in and pitched. He started a game again, and he did simply fantastic, going 4 2/3. While Dylan Cease only went 3, he only went 3 innings, gave up 3 runs, all 3 were earned. He gave up no hits, nonetheless. No hits and 3 earned runs. He did walk 7. That was his obvious downfall, and he struck out 5. And then Detweiler came in and pitched an inning in the 3rd. He gave up 3 hits, 4 runs. All 4 were earned, and then struck out 1 while walking 3. So things had gone a little sideways for the Reds to, you know, they put a lot of pressure on the White Sox early on. So like I said, things did go a little sideways for them, but they were able to get the job done and got it done when needed. A crucial game where they, like I said, had put up 5 runs in the bottom of the 4th inning at this point in time, to where Dylan Cease, like I said, had not given up a single hit but gave up 3 runs. And it was, you know, not the way you really wanted to see things play out. That's not how you want to see it. But again, for, you know, for the White Sox, that's, you know, not how they had it, you know, written up. But they came back and scored 2 in the top of the 5th. Both of those runs were indeed charged to Michael Lorenzen. But then the Reds came right back in the bottom of the 5th and tacked on 2 more. And just like that, and that was on a 2-run home run by Aristides Aquino off of Ross Detweiler. And they were able to tack on there. Again, only 5 hits managed by the Cincinnati Reds. So that's a tough, you know, that's a tough way to go about it. But again, the Reds were able to come away and get a victory. Crucial pitching down the stretch again from Lorenzen. Lucas Sims got the win in the game. He went 2 1/3. He cleaned up the top of the 5th for Lorenzen, got the final out there, and then went two more. Archie Bradley and then Rice Iglesias finished up the game. So, at that, you know, after that victory, the Reds stay at 500. They go, you know, they go to 27-27 on the season. Huge, huge job there by the Cincinnati Reds to get the job done and take two or three in the series against the AL Central leading Chicago White Sox, a team that, you know, that had made a lot of noise. Again, like I said, in this, you know, in these next two, or in the next two series, you got, you know, three-game homestand against the Milwaukee Brewers, who you are currently tied with, and then you have a three-game series at Minnesota to end your season. But you look at the way things were going, and when I had recorded the episode last week, you know, this was a 10-game homestand for the Cincinnati Reds. I said bare minimum you have to take 7 of 10. Well, I didn't expect to take 2 or 3 from the Chicago White Sox. Now, the Brewers, they're hanging tight. They're right there with you. Now, the way things are playing out, the Reds are currently sitting at the they're in the final spot in the playoffs. So, now you're tied again with the Milwaukee Brewers, and you have Milwaukee now is set up, you know, for a three-game set where your pitching rotation it's laid out there and plays out exactly how you want to see it if you're a Cincinnati Reds fan. So, with that being the case, you know, you are looking at a chance here for the Cincinnati Reds that's going to line you up with Luis Castillo on Monday. Sonny Gray returns. He pitches Tuesday. And then Trevor Bauer comes back and pitches on Wednesday. That's how this rotation is set up right now for the Cincinnati Reds. There's a huge chance for this Reds ball club to make some noise and get into this playoff series, you know, where you're moving forward. And right now, you're facing a team that you're tied with for three games. You take two or three here, you jump a game up on them as they finish up, you know, with the Cardinals to end the season. They've got the Cardinals right now have to travel to Kansas City for a three-game set. They return and they play five games in 4 days against the Milwaukee Brewers to end the season. This is where it is a huge opportunity for this ball club here, where the Milwaukee Brewers have to, you know, if the Reds are able to make some noise against the Brewers in this series here, and then hopefully if you're a Reds fan, you're obviously going to be rooting for Kansas City to step up and make some noise here. You can put yourself in a position to get yourself in the playoffs. And that's all. Once you get there, that's all that matters. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out over this three-game series. Bare minimum, you have to take two or three. Bare minimum, you have to take two or three from the Milwaukee Brewers in your next three games before you head out to Minnesota to end the season. If you take all three, you put yourself in just an unbelievable position to end the season on a high note and move into the playoffs. You take one of three, you put yourself, you know, behind the eight ball, and your playoff chances are severely diminished. It comes out to the Reds now on how they want to approach everything. You have your rotation lined up exactly how you want. It's time to put up or shut up and get it done. That's exactly what you want to see as a Cincinnati Reds fan, as a Cincinnati Reds player, and what you want to see in the organization. You control your own destiny. You continue to win. You're in the playoffs, plain and simple. It's time to get it done. Live up to those expectations like we've seen so far from the Reds. So with that being said, I'm going to wrap it up this episode here of Reds Weekly Roundup. My name is Chris Asbrock. Make sure you check out ImpactSportsCincinnati.wordpress.com. Again, that's ImpactSportsCincinnati.wordpress.com. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at IamChrisAsbrock and at ISCincy. And make sure you check out FNXFit.com for all your fitness needs. That is FNXFit.com for all your fitness needs. And once you do, make sure you use the promo code BDiesel for 15% off your purchase. That is BDiesel for 15% off your purchase. Again, make sure you check out fnxfit.com and use the promo code BDiesel for your next purchase of 15% off, is what I meant to say there on that one. As always, thank you guys so much, and stay tuned as I will be back next week to recap the final six games of the season and where the Cincinnati Reds are positioned moving forward in the playoffs. Thank you, and take care, everybody. What up, what up, what up? Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Reds Weekly Recap, presented to you by Impact Sports Cincinnati. My name is Chris Asbrock, and I will be your host once again. And I tell you what, wow, wow, wow. The Cincinnati Reds, as we know, were able to clinch the playoff berth for the first time since 2013. And I tell you what, they made me look dumb, because literally just a few weeks ago, if you listen or if you remember just a few episodes ago, I was willing to put the nail in the coffin of the Cincinnati Reds. However, last week I did state, or it was 2 weeks ago, I said that the Reds needed to come out and win 7 of their last 10. Well, the Reds, I tell you what, did just that. They have, simply phenomenal job by this Reds ball club. This was the way this team finished up the season was exactly what I wanted to see from this ball club. Now, I said, you know, when it began with the homestand against the Pittsburgh Pirates, I said they had to win all four. They did that. I said at bare minimum, they had to take one game from the Chicago White Sox. They took two, because at bare minimum, they had to take at least 2 of 3 from the Brewers. They took 2 of 3. Then they go on the road to face the Minnesota Twins, and they come away with taking 2 of 3 in that. And the win, and coming into that series, the Twins had only lost 5 total games at home, and the Reds were able to take 2 of 3. This team has been nothing short of simply fantastic. And, I mean, it's something that, you know, you look at the way, you know, this team finished up the year. I mean, how, you know, you got to be so proud of this ball club. And, you know, they finished the season 31-29, three games back of the Chicago Cubs for the division. They were tied with the St. Louis Cardinals in terms of the, you know, the standings. They were tied for second. The Cardinals had, you know, they were able to move ahead in terms of, I think it was losses is how it kind of worked out. The Reds finished 16-13 at home at Great American Ballpark, and 15-16 away from Great American. Now, granted, like I said, this team came back with, I mean, just an absolute fury. And, I mean, like I said, you have to be nothing short of proud of these guys and this team and how they did it, because they were, I mean, they were great. I mean, simply great. And, you know, again, it's something that you want to, you know, you want to see from this team. And this team, you knew they were going to put up a fight. You knew it was going to happen. And, you know, they were able to, you know, they were able to get it done. And it's, again, something that, you know, you just are, you know, you're just thrilled to see it play out the way it did. And I'm so happy that they were able to come away with a victory. Now, it started off on Monday. The Reds came out with a 6-3 win behind Luis Castillo, who ended up going 6 2/3 innings, gave up 4 hits, 1 run, and it was earned. He did walk 3, struck out 9, did give up 1 home run, and that was to Jed Jerko in the 5th inning. But overall, Amir Garrett came on, got the hold. Raisel Iglesias got the hold. And then Nate Jones came in. You know, this team, again, simply fantastic. They struck out as a staff. They struck out 12. Now, on the flip side, Brandon Woodruff was the tough luck loser. He went 5 2/3 innings. He struck out 9, gave up 1 home run. That was to Eugenio Suarez. He did walk 2. But, you know, overall, the Reds were able to get 8 hits. They scored 6 runs on 8 hits. And, you know, they scored 4 of those in the 8th inning, to where, You know, this was a 6-1 ball game going into the top of the ninth, and then, you know, it went on from there where the Brewers were able to score two more in the ninth off of Nate Jones, but the Reds were able to still come away with a victory, improving to 28-27 on the season at that point in time. And then Tuesday's game, again, a game to where, you know, they put themselves in a good position. They will, you know, they'll be in a really good spot to continue to put themselves in a great spot to clinch. And at this point in time, they came out and scored two runs in the first, and that was all they would get, as TJ Antone would be he was the hard luck loser on that. Sonny Gregg was five innings, gives up two hits, one run, and it was earned. Struck out eight and did give up one home run. And Sonny Gregg was, he was great. Like I said, TJ Antone, he went two innings, gave up three hits, two runs. He did strike out three. Unfortunately, like I said, the Reds did lose, and it ended up being a so-called blown save. It's kind of how they looked at it. Amir Garrett came in. He pitched an inning. So did Anthony DeSclafani. Unfortunately, the Reds were unable to get the victory. Brent Anderson got the victory for the Milwaukee Brewers. He went six innings, four hits, two runs. He did strike out seven. The Reds were able to get four hits. Like I said, two runs on four hits. And unfortunately, they just could not. They couldn't get the job done. Castellanos did go yard in the first inning. It was a two-run home run. But that's all the Reds could muster as they fell back to an even 500, 28-28. Going into the rubber game of this series, where a game, again, the Reds had to come off and win, and they did just that. And it was, I mean, this was the game that was a lot of fun to watch, as you saw Trevor Bauer be Trevor Bauer. He was nothing short of phenomenal in this game. He goes eight innings, gave up four hits, one run. He struck out 12. And, I mean, again, he was simply fantastic in this game. There's no other way to put it. I mean, he was on. He was dealing. I mean, he had guys just twisted. And he had it on Christian Yelich. You know, he struck him out three times. Yelich left three men on base. Jerko struck out twice. So did Hura and Peterson. Those were the other ones who struck out multiple times. But again, just Trevor Bauer. Nothing more you can say about Trevor Bauer than that. He was just simply phenomenal. And he's the reason why this Reds ball club has, you know, he's 5-4. The numbers don't reflect the way he's pitched so far this year. Simply fantastic. And I'm going to be parading him for the Cy Young, because I truly think he does deserve it. He was amazing this game, and it continues to show why, you know, he is one of the top pitchers in baseball. Again, Trevor Bauer, tip of the cap to you, good sir, as you were simply fantastic and leading the Reds to a victory on Wednesday, improving them to 29-28 with a humongous series against the Minnesota Twins at Target Field, where the Twins, like I said, had only lost five games all season against, you know, their opponents at home. And what did the Reds do? They come out and get a huge 7-2 victory, where the Reds were able to get the job done, and they were able to clinch. The Reds scored seven runs on nine hits. They scored two runs in the fourth and fifth, and then three more in the ninth. This game was really, really good, and ended up being a game started by Tyler Mahle, who went 2 1/3. He gave up three hits, one earned. He did walk two and struck out four. Michael Lorenzen came in, got the win. He improved to 3-1 in the season. He went 3 1/3, gave up three hits, one run, and it was earned. He walked one and struck out four. Amir Garrett came in, pitched a third of an inning, and he ended up with his sixth hold of the season. Lucas Sims came in, got his fifth hold of the season after he went an inning. Rysel Iglesias got a hold as he went an inning. And then Wade Miley came in and pitched the bottom of the ninth and got the huge final three outs for the Cincinnati Reds as they improved to 30-28 on the season and clinched a playoff spot for the Reds, which was, you know, their first appearance in 7 years since they had made the wild card game back in 2013. So Cincinnati Reds came away with a huge victory on that Friday night, leading into the second game against the Minnesota Twins, where they fell 7-3. Luis Castillo got the loss. He fell to 4-6 on the season. He went 4 innings, gave up 6 hits, 4 earned runs. He did strike out 4. Anthony DeSclafani came in, pitched 3 innings. He gave up 4 hits and 3 earned runs as well. He did not have his best day. And then Robert Stevenson pitched as well an inning, and he struck out 1. The Reds, again, tough loss there. They were only able to muster 3 runs on 7 hits. 2 of those hits came from Shogo Akiyama. Joey Votto had 2 more. And the Reds were unable to get the job done on the Saturday. They fell to 30-29 on the season, but they were able to, like I said, get the job done and get the get the playoff spot already clinched. So this was just kind of a formality in terms of trying to get their playoff rotation kind of in line. Luis Castillo will feature in that, as I will talk about here in just a minute. The final game of the season was yesterday's game against the Minnesota Twins, where they came out and were able to come away with a huge 5-3 victory over the Twins, where they scored 3 runs in the top of the 10th inning to get the 5-3 victory. Raisel Iglesias gets the win. He improves to 4-3. Again, Sonny Gray goes 5 1/3. He gave up only 2 hits. He gave up 2 runs on 2 hits. Both those were earned. He struck out 4. He did walk 4. He didn't have his best stuff, but was able to pitch a solid game. TJ Antone came in and got the he pitched an inning and 2/3. Amir Garrett came in and pitched a third of an inning. Lucas Sims came in, pitched an inning and 1/3. And then Raisel Iglesias, who did come in and pitched an inning and 1/3 for the win there, as he struck out 3. The Reds overall as a staff struck out 13 again. This team continues to impress. I mean, their ability to rack up the strikeouts is very impressive. But the Reds were able to, you know, to get the job done. Eugenio Suarez, he got 2 hits. He did drive in 2 runs. He did strike out 2 though. The Reds did strike out 11 times on the game, but they did get 5 runs on 8 hits, again, in 10 innings there. And the Reds did improve to end the regular season at 31-29 as they had pretty much been set for a playoff spot already. Now it's just a matter of where they were going to slot in. Now, I had predicted the Cincinnati Reds to win the National League Central. They were only 3 games off, but if you look at it, the NL Central is certainly one of the strongest divisions in all of baseball, as they were able to get 4 teams in the playoffs. Chicago Cubs did win the division. Again, the Reds and Cardinals were tied with a .517 win percentage. The Cardinals did play 2 less games, which, depending on the seeding, they could have played out to where they were going to play 2 games, a doubleheader against the Tigers on Monday, that is today. So if you're listening to this, it was Monday. So with that being the case, the Reds were able to, it didn't really matter, and Milwaukee was able to get in thanks to losses from the San Francisco Giants and the Philadelphia Phillies, to where they were able to assist the Milwaukee Brewers in getting in the playoffs, even though they did lose to the St. Louis Cardinals. It worked out to where the Reds, Cardinals, Cubs, and Brewers were able to make the playoffs. So as it stands right now, the Los Angeles Dodgers won the National League West. They are the 1 seed, taking on the 8th seeded Milwaukee Brewers. The St. Louis Cardinals take over. Like I said, they overtook the Cincinnati Reds for the 2nd spot in the division. They now have the 5th seed, and they will take on the second finisher of the second seeded, or not second seeded, but the second finisher in the West, which is the San Diego Padres. They were the 4 seed. So that's the 4-5 matchup. The Chicago Cubs, who did win the NL Central, they host the Miami Marlins, and the 2nd-seeded Atlanta Braves take on the 7th-seeded Cincinnati Reds. Now, with that being the case, things are playing out very, very well for the Cincinnati Reds to make some moves. They have set their playoff rotation, and I tell you what, coming into this, this is a team you do not want to face. The Reds line up their postseason rotation here in this best of three series, leading off with Trevor Bauer in the game on Wednesday afternoon at noon. Trevor Bauer will toe the rubber in that game. Luis Castillo will be in game two, and then Sonny Gray, if necessary, in a game three on the 2nd. So you're looking at a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday matchup here, where you're going to see Trevor Bauer, Luis Castillo, and Sonny Gray. So that lends itself to a really good situation here for the Cincinnati Reds as they come into this series. I think that, you know, this team is set for, you know, they're set for some success. I think that you are going to see a team come out and play some great baseball as they have at the final part of this season. As you can see, the bats got hot at the right time. That's exactly what you want to see, as this team, again, they rallied and got the job done late, as you would have expected them to do, you know, at the beginning of the season. A full 162, it's kind of what you were expecting from this ball club, was a team to come out and finish as one of the playoff teams. Now, you know, a lot of people are going to come out and say that this team, the only reason they were able to advance was because of the extended playoffs. Now, that you can go along with that and say, okay, I get it, but, you know, who knows? The way the Reds have played so far this season was definitely a tale of two teams. They were very cold to start the season, but you could tell once this team heated up, there was no stopping them, and they were able to, you know, get the job done. You know, led by Jesse Winker, Shogo Akiyama, Moustakas, Votto, Castellanos, and Eugenio Suarez. Eugenio Suarez finished batting .202 on the season, but he did end up leading the team in home runs with 15, which was stunning, because you never would have thought that, you know, right from the get-go there, seeing Eugenio Suarez start off and struggle like he did. He was in struggle city, and he fought back, and, you know, again, he led the team in home runs with 15. I mean, he was, and I'm waiting for the MLB page is struggling here, but he was third on the team in hits with 40. He was, Nick Castellanos led the Reds with 49 hits, Joey Votto with 42, and then, like I said, Eugenio Suarez with 40. So, again, this team was nothing short of fantastic. Eugenio Suarez did lead the team in RBIs with 38, followed by Nick Castellanos with 34. So this team, you know, was getting the big bats going from Moustakas, who knocked in 27 runs on 8 home runs, but his home runs seemed to be very timely. Jesse Winker knocked in 23 runs on 12 home runs. He did have 7 doubles. Castellanos finished with 11 doubles. Now, again, this team was, you know, just something to completely just, you know, baffle you. This team, like I said, was just simply fantastic. You look at the pitching staff, you know, Trevor Bauer led all starters with 1.73 ERA. He was 5-4. Which was best on the team. It does lead the team in wins as well, which he is tied with Sonny Gray. He led the team in innings pitched as well. He had 73. Trevor Bauer was the man. He was the man for the Cincinnati Reds, plain and simple. You know, would you wanted that big start? He gave up only 41 hits. He struck out 100 through 73 innings, which is, you know, that's an astronomical number. He only gave up 14 earned runs. He did give up 9 home runs. He was touched on the long ball a little bit, which was the most on the team. But, you know, you kind of look at, you know, Luis Castillo, who gave up 25 earned runs. You look at Luis Castillo's stats, it's a little misleading. He went 70 innings. He gave up 62 hits, 31 runs. Only 25 of those were earned, and walked 24. The 24 number is pretty big. Sonny Gray did walk 26 as well. Tyler Mahle did walk 21. But you look at those, you know, those numbers there, the top three guys in terms of strikeouts. I mean, you're looking at, you know, between three guys, you're looking at a total of 261 strikeouts between Bauer, Castillo, and Gray. And that is, I mean, that's incredible. That's an incredible number there from three guys. So this team, again, is set up for, they're in a good spot to move forward and knock off this Atlanta Braves team. Just the way this team has been hitting, which is what you want to see. You know, this team was 20-26 on September 12th. Now, that is, you know, you look at September 12th, and at that point in time, I did the Reds Weekly Recap on that Sunday, the 13th there, where I had said at this point in time, the team had to get a, you know, that's where I said they had to win 7 of their last 10, or of their 7 of their next 10 on that homestand, because they ended up having to go to the Minnesota Twins to face them. The Reds ended up going 11-3, and they won 5 straight series. They knocked off the St. Louis Cardinals, the Pittsburgh Pirates, the Chicago White Sox, the Milwaukee Brewers, and the Minnesota Twins. That's 5 straight series. Ending the season, they won those series. Again, guys like Shogo Akiyama, Moustakas, Votto, those guys came through and were hitting. You know, they were getting the job done when they were hitting. And they are coming into this team as, or into this postseason as, one of the hottest teams in all of baseball. Plain and simple, the bullpen has stepped up. They struggled early on. They've stepped up. Amir Garrett, Archie Bradley, Iglesias, TJ Antone, Lucas Sims, these guys, Michael Lorenzen, they're stepping up and getting the job done when you need it. And now you're setting your lineup, you know, now you're getting to give guys like Antone, Tyler Mahle, Wade Miley, and Dee Scafani a chance to take a step back and then come in and pitch in the series if, you know, when needed. That's an option for this ball club as well. So it's going to depend on how they set up their playoff roster and move forward and going about, you know, this series. You know, it starts off Wednesday afternoon at noon on ESPN. You know, this team, again, has, you know, they are in the position to make some noise. They have not won a postseason round since 1995, which is still baffling to me to you know, take a look back and see all of that. But it's been 95 since this team has won a playoff series. So, you know, you're looking at 25 years since this team has advanced. This team can set up and do that again, because they are that, you know, they're that loaded, in my opinion. I think this team can get the job done. Again, they have to, you know, they have to get the job done at the plate when it's needed. Now, granted, you know, the Reds had a team batting average of .212 during the regular season. That cannot happen. This team they have to get the job done when they're called upon. Granted, this pitching staff can hold a team to very little. That's what, you know, you cannot rely on that when you're only managing to hit, you know, to manage 4 or 5 hits in a game. The playoffs aren't going to work that way. Now, again, the Reds have the advantage over this Atlanta Braves team. You don't know what you're going to get in terms of this first game, the Atlanta Braves and the Reds. I mean, you don't know what you're looking at here. You know, this is a chance here for the Reds to, you know, again, to make some noise. You get a solid first start, which you know you're going to get Trevor Bauer coming out and being an absolute gamer in this situation. You know, he's taking on Max Fried. Max Fried, left-handed pitcher. He did get hurt. You know, he was their top pitcher. He was 7-0 with a 2.25 ERA. He's making his first postseason start here. But he did, according to reports I saw, that he did tweak his left ankle in the start against the Marlins. And the Marlins are no joke as well. So this is a team that, you know, Max Fried, he's able to get, you know, to get them going. That'd be a big, big victory for the Atlanta Braves to start off. So that's something to watch and to keep an eye on. But again, I think the Cincinnati Reds, I think they get the job done here. It definitely, I can see this team going and getting the victory behind Trevor Bauer. Trevor Bauer is, like I said, when things are going, Trevor Bauer wants that ball. He wants to get that victory. So that is something to definitely keep an eye on. And I think the Reds get the job done and take the series in two games. Now, in looking at the, I'm gonna give my playoff predictions here before I wrap this up. The series, Dodgers and Brewers. I think the Dodgers are just way too much overall. The Dodgers are loaded. I mean, they get the job done. They knock off the Milwaukee Brewers. San Diego Padres, I think they get the job done. I think they're too strong. This team, they're loaded. Pitching staff, they have the chance to make some noise as well. So that'll be something to take, you know, to take a look at and keep your eye on throughout this series. But I think the Padres get the job done. Now the Marlins, I think the Marlins have enough to get it done over the Chicago Cubs. I think the Marlins have a lot that they can take advantage of, and I think they will get the job done there and get the victory over the Chicago Cubs. I don't think the Cubs are in a good enough position to make that run. The Marlins they're hot right now. If you watched them play the New York Yankees prior to, you know, to the series, basically last series of the year, this team was, you know, they were rolling, and this team is, they're hot right now. They're one to keep an eye on, but I think the Marlins get the job done and knock off the Chicago Cubs. And like I said, I had already mentioned, I think the Cincinnati Reds knock off the Atlanta Braves. Going back to the other side there, in the NLDS, I think it's going to be the Dodgers who are going to knock off the Padres, and the Reds, I think, will have enough to knock off the Miami Marlins. Setting up an NLCS with the Cincinnati Reds taking on the Los Angeles Dodgers, the Reds will unfortunately ultimately fall to the Dodgers, and they will be representing the National League in the postseason. Or in the World Series, I should say. Now, over in the American League, Tampa Bay, Toronto. I think this one's going to be intriguing. I think Tampa Bay does get it done. In terms of the hot matchup in the first game of the series is the matchup that will be on Tuesday night against Shane Bieber of the Cleveland Indians taking on Garrett Cole of the New York Yankees. I think the Cleveland Indians, their pitching staff, will get the job done, and they will knock off the New York Yankees. Twins and Astros, the 3-6 matchup, I think that's going to be an intriguing one. But I am picking I'm going to pick the Minnesota Twins to come away with this as well. The 2-7 matchup is going to be the A's and the White Sox. That is one to keep an eye on as well. But I think you will see the Chicago White Sox. I think they do have a little too much firepower, and they will get the job done and come away with the win in that situation there. Going to the ALDS, I think the Tampa Bay Rays will do enough to knock off the Cleveland Indians, and the Chicago White Sox will take advantage of the situation and knock off the Minnesota Twins. So a divisional matchup there, and I think they get the job done, setting up another 1-7 matchup, just like we saw in the National League, where the Rays will knock off the Chicago White Sox and advance to the World Series to take on the LA Dodgers, where the Dodgers will ultimately come away with the World Series championship, their first since 1982, and we will see the Dodgers come away with a victory, and we will see them win the World Series and hoist it for the first time in decades. So that is my prediction of how we're going to see the playoffs and World Series play out, and we will be back. As I do want to correct myself, and the I'm losing my train of thought here, but I do want to correct myself and state that the Los Angeles Dodgers, their last World Series was in 1988, not 1982. Don't know, that was the Kirk Gibson home run in 1988. So I'll backtrack on that. Regardless, that is going to be it for this episode here of Reds Weekly Recap. Stay tuned as I will be back next week, where I will recap the Reds series against the Atlanta Braves and touch on the other playoff series as well. So as always, make sure you check out impactsportscincinnati.wordpress.com. That's impactsportscincinnati.wordpress.com. Make sure you check that out. And also, you can follow me on Twitter at I am Chris Asbrock and at IS Cincy as well. And also, as always, for any fitness needs, make sure you check out fnxfit.com. That is fnxfit.com. And make sure you use the promo code BDiesel for 15% off your purchase. Again, that is promo code BDiesel for 15% off of your purchase. Again, make sure you check out fnxfit.com and use the promo code BDiesel for 15% off. As always, thank you guys so much for your support, and thank you, as always, for listening. And I will be back next week. And for now, make sure you sit back and enjoy the incredible slate of baseball games we have coming up. Thank you, and take care, everybody.